Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've been in one of those situations where what is happening just strikes your gut as wrong, right? Whether it's a glitch in the matrix or realizing you are surrounded by the wrong people or the spotlight is on the wrong person or we're trespassing on the sacred or we realize that we've forgotten something much more important or these are all the things that start to run through our heads at that moment. These are not moments of accountability when something is happening to us that we long expected, but by fortune we've escaped. These are the moments when you know exactly what is happening. Your gut falls, and you know why. But the moments that I'm trying to invoke are those where we'd say, no, stop, this is wrong. We'd probably not know exactly why it's wrong. Sometimes we figure it out later. Sometimes the feeling passes. Sometimes the situation passes, but that moment sticks in our heads, and 20 years later, we'll wake up in the middle of the night asking why. The baptism of Jesus is one of those moments. John has been out in the wilderness of the Jordan calling people to a baptism of repentance. He's been calling them to reform Israel, to pass through the Jordan again into the promised land. And he's been telling those who come out that the day of the Lord is at hand. The Messiah is just around the corner, so go back home and bear the fruits of repentance, and the King that we have all been waiting for will soon call you to action. And remember that John is the cousin of Jesus. He's known Jesus, and supposedly all of the stories that we've reminded ourselves of over the past month since he was a little child. This is the man who leapt in Elizabeth's womb when Mary approached, who, according to the evangelist John, would point at Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And this Jesus comes up to John in the Jordan and submits himself to be baptized, to undergo that baptism of repentance. And John immediately feels something wrong. "No, Jesus, not you, not this baptism, not by me. I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." But Jesus replies to John with two phrases. First, "Let it be so now." Second, "Thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And at that, John consents. Why was Jesus presenting himself for a baptism of repentance, a recrossing of the Jordan and a reforming of Israel? Let's take the second part of Jesus' answer first. The entire reason that John was proclaiming repentance was because Israel had failed. There was little righteousness in Israel, let alone all righteousness. As much as the Pharisees might proclaim that they were the children of Abraham, as much as the priests might have thought that another round of sacrifice in the second temple would do it, both of those things were slight jokes by this time. The priesthood was an office that was bought and soul. less concerned with righteousness than maintaining its power. The Pharisees would tithe their mint and cumin and tell their parents, "Sorry, I have nothing for you." They would fulfill the outward law while Jesus would call them whitewashed tombs. They would appropriate the righteous words of God to justify wickedness. And we should not necessarily feel superior. If you've ever read Romans 1, that's what Paul says we do. Though they know God's righteousness and his decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Nobody has ever been declared righteous by the works of the law. We always manage to turn the law into a racket or a grift. And this is not because the law itself is unrighteous. The law of God is good and wise. But physical Israel, of any physical descent, always fails to fulfill all righteousness. It would take a new Israel, an Israel that was reduced to one, an Israel who was not metaphorically the Son of God, but "this one is my beloved Son." This is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Because it's here, in the waters of the Jordan, that Jesus starts to stand in the place of Israel. If in the incarnation Jesus becomes the second Adam, if at Christmas we see humanity as it was meant to be, in this act of epiphany, we see Israel as it was meant to be. Christ crosses the Jordan and fulfills what physical Israel never could. He secures for us the promised land. He fulfills all righteousness. Now, we might say something like, "That's fine for Jesus, but what does this mean for us? We failed, Jesus succeeds, good for him, but what's that mean for us?" Let it be so for now. Now, Christ stands for us. Now, Christ receives the baptism of repentance and stands with sinners. Now, Christ is the true Israel. And as the one who stands for us in this baptism, now, Christ accepts the death that was due to sin. Christ receives the baptism of fire that led to the cross. Let it be so for now. Jesus takes that baptism that we deserved, such that as the Israel who has secured the promised land, he can tell those who follow him, "Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them." Jesus takes our baptism of repentance that he might give us his baptism of faith. In that baptism of the Jordan, Jesus is the anointed Son and the substitute for all of Israel. He will suffer and die, but by his death he conquers death. And he will rise to new life. And all of that is given to us in those waters of baptism that we pass by on our way into the here. On our way into this ark of safety, we pass through those waters. We've been baptized into Christ's death. And because we have been made part of this new Israel, this death is no longer a failure, but it's the path to eternal life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. By those waters, we have been crucified with Christ. And by those waters, we are no longer enslaved to sin. In those waters of baptism, we have died with Christ, and the dead are free from sin, free from suffering, and free from all of the toll of sin. So, should we who have been freed from sin continue in it? State of grace, so happy condition, sin as I please and have remission? As Paul would say, heck no. Stop being stupid. You have been freed from sin. Why would you choose to go back into death? Because that is what it is. Sin is death. In Christ, all righteousness has been given to you by those waters of Christ's baptism. In Christ, you have been set free from that bondage to sin. You have real choices now. And in Christ, having suffered a death like his, you will surely share a resurrection like his. And in that resurrection, death no longer has a claim over us. Because you are the Israel that Christ has called. Not as John was calling. Christ alone fulfills that. But he's given you all of his righteousness by grace in baptism. Christ has called all to this new life through those waters of baptism. Through those waters of the Jordan. As Luther put it in his baptismal prayer, it's in our baptismal liturgy, through baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. You have been made the Israel of Christ and are ready to enter the promised land through those waters. Let it be so for now. Now, we know that all righteousness has been fulfilled. Not yet have we received the fullness of the glory. Now, we know that Christ has taken our baptism and defeated death. Not yet have we let go of the fear of that monster. Now, we know that Christ has freed us from sin. Not yet have we put away the sin that lives in our members. Now, we know that Christ is at the right hand of God, and that Satan has been thrown out and can no longer accuse us. Not yet have we mastered telling old Scratch to get lost. Let it be so for now. Sin, death, and the devil have been vanquished. This life, this season of Epiphany, is about a growing awareness of just how finished they are. For this one who lives in the baptism of Jesus. And soon, all righteousness shall appear in its fullness, and we will all be changed. Amen.